The Ray Foley Podcast.
Oh, here we go. Here come the details.
A Today FM original podcast.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!
Groovy baby. Groovy baby. Actually, when was the last time you saw a groovy baby?
Probably that baby that's on the ad where it's riding a motorbike. It has a Mohican and it's wearing a black leather jacket.
Fair enough. That's a pretty groovy baby. I'll grant you that. Would a groovy baby be wearing flares and a denim jacket maybe of some kind?
Kind of a disco-y look.
Maybe a disco. That's more disco than groove. I suppose you can be groovy at a disco. Anyway, that's something to think about this weekend, as you're listening to the podcast, you can drop us an email, jp@todayfm.com, and thank you for downloading. Smash the subscribe button or just press it with your finger or your thumb. That's to those of you who are dexterous and listening this afternoon.
People who podcast usually ask for a nice review to be left somewhere for other people to see, and then when they see the nice review, they'll go, oh wow, I've clicked on the review section of that podcast, seen the reviews are good, I might listen.
That's
to
not that. How that works. That's not why they're asking you to do that. Do you not know this?
Well, it's just because it gives you an overall rating and then you see that it's rated.
It's not that either.
Go on.
Well, I tell you.
Well, I hope you do.
It's the algorithm. Yeah, because there's loads of podcasts that I have loved. And then they, at one point, suddenly they all started doing this. Oh, it would mean so much to us if you'd leave us, as well as subscribing, leaving us a review. And then the way that works is then whatever the streaming platform is or the platform is that they're sharing their podcasts on, be it Spotify or Go Loud or Apple Podcasts. I've got various podcast apps that I use to listen to different types of podcasts. Rather than having them all of the podcasts in the one app, I'll have different ones on the go. But anyway, if you leave a review, and they're positive reviews, I guess, then the algorithm starts noticing that and then promoting it. You know, the way it's like, hey, podcast's worth checking out. And then they'll serve it up then higher up in the thing rather than just being a chart.
So this is the exact same principle as on YouTube when YouTubers say, please hit the like button. It's not just an ego thing. I guess if there are lots of likes on a video, the algorithm pushes the video then.
That's it. But we're not. I'm not engaging in any of that.
Right. And we're not likable.
Do you know what? If we asked people, hi guys, please, if you're listening to this, just leave us a review. Then that's it. That's it. We're screwed then.
Yeah.
The minute someone's given an opportunity to voice their opinion on what it is we put out there into the world, then that's it. You're bunched then. Because everyone hates us. Universally hated. Despised across the podcasting landscape.
Do you completely dismiss online reviews for stuff? Like restaurants, pubs, that kind of thing. Sandwich bars.
It depends on the thing.
What would you depend on and what would you believe and what would you not believe?
Well, it's funny. I think that anyone, like if it's TripAdvisor or Yelp or what even, is it Google reviews? Is Yelp?
That's the Google one, yep.
Yelp is Google. No, Google is its own.
Yelp is a different one, yep.
So basically if you Google something and then you click on the reviews, generally, like if I'm thinking of going to, it's funny, yeah, like a restaurant or a sandwich, yeah, whatever, like you mentioned a sandwich place, then I'll Google the place and then I might look at the reviews. If I'm just like, just to see what people are saying. When was the last time you went and bought a sandwich? And I was like, geez, you know what? I have to leave a review on Google for that.
I did leave a review once for a place I went to in Bosnia, randomly on TripAdvisor. I had to register an account and then leave a review because the service was so exceptional.
Oh, it was good.
I owed it to them. It was off the charts good. So I felt like I had to. It was a place in Sarajevo. I felt like I had to go on and say, amazing experience. Cheers to Dino. Who was the MC? What do you call them? A maitre d', the guy who said hello at the door. Basically, he did a whole lot more than that.
Oh yeah,
all things you would expect to happen in a restaurant.
Okay, fair enough. I would expect to happen in a restaurant.
So yeah, that was the one time I remember leaving. I wrote the review while waiting for the flight out of Sarajevo.
Right, I've written, I'd say maybe 3 TripAdvisor reviews, and they were all negative.
Right.
And it was like, I was so incensed by the situation. And that's, of course, one of the big drivers of writing online reviews is this thing happened and I'm not getting any recourse. So I'm going to use all I've got left is the opportunity to just voice it and make sure that other people don't experience the same thing.
I don't like in online reviews where the person being reviewed or the restaurant owner being reviewed jumps back into the comment section.
To clap
and
back.
Replies. Exactly. Well, usually they're quite passive aggressive. Well, I'm sorry you had that bad experience. We're working really hard on improving service, but thank you for your feedback.
It's two I've done. I don't know if there was a third one, but the two I did were just like, it was like a litany of just, and for me to be so incensed and moved to go to the trouble of setting up the TripAdvisor account, writing it out, it needed to be pretty bad. One was a restaurant where it was like they made us wait like hours for the food, and there was puke in the sink of of the toilets. Yeah. And it was there, like they never cleaned it up in Paris. And the other one was, I'm not going to name it. It was a fast food restaurant in Dublin, in Ireland. And it was disgusting. It was like, I cannot believe that they are still allowed to be in business, this particular establishment. It was horrifically disgusting.
What time of the day can you remember were you in the place?
I think it was lunchtime on a weekend.
Wow. Okay. That's bad.
Yeah. It was so bad. It was like, it was breathtakingly bad.
I've worked in a fast food place and I worked there as part of the cleaning crew as well. And you never really got to clean the place, obviously, because you were run off your feet until end of service, which was usually midnight, I think, from memory. And that was always a gruesome job.
In the day it is, the dirtier it is.
Oh, well, because it hasn't been cleaned all day. But I'm surprised for a place to be like a cesspool at midday or lunchtime is fairly disgraceful. Yeah. Did you feel a load had been lifted once you'd vented your spleen?
Yeah. And I never checked it again either. I never, I don't know. Do they send you notifications if someone replies or someone says something? I don't know. I put it in anyway. And the funny thing is actually, or the gratifying thing, because it's not like I looked at TripAdvisor or Google reviews before I went to buy a burger and chips in a fast food place. But when you look, you can see, oh, this is universally bad and I should never have gone there in the first place, and maybe I should have read the online reviews.
Safety in numbers, guys. If a place has got like thousands of reviews, like if it says 3.5K reviews and it's above 3 stars, it's going to be pretty okay.
The other thing then that I always read the reviews is on Amazon. If I'm thinking about buying something, I'll always read the reviews. And the funny thing about that is that there's a whole thing. We could do a whole podcast on it. There's a whole industry in fake reviews and leaving fake, star reviews and ratings of products on Amazon to, again, have the algorithm promote the products and to obviously sell it to unsuspecting customers. There's a thing where you can have something that's really highly, a product that's really highly rated, and then, like, let's say a MacBook or whatever. No, not MacBook. Give me a mouse, or I'm looking around the room.
Anyway, a toaster.
I'll use it for an example, a phone or whatever, right? So the page for a phone, JP Gilburn is selling these phones, and there's a really high rating for the phone because everyone loves the phone, and the phone turns out great. Then if JP wants, he can just swap out the phone and put in something else.
Go what?
Yeah.
But the descriptions of the reviews won't match then. They'll clearly not be a review.
They're
for
referring
that.
To the phone, but it's not. Most people don't read beyond the first page, and then it's the star rating people mostly go for. So there's like 3,000 reviews and they're 4.5 stars, and they're mostly for the phone. But actually, it's for a pair of shoes. The pair of shoes now have a 4.5 star rating. And mostly positive reviews, whereas in fact they're not necessarily up to that.
Well, that doesn't standard. Seem like a very watertight system. Amazon, get your fingers out.
There is a website that I only discovered last week that does that scours. Did I tell you about this yesterday? Did I?
No, I don't think so.
Who was I telling? I was telling somebody about it yesterday. Basically, where you take a product. I'll have to go and find it. I'll put it on my Instagram. You take so let's say you're thinking about buying a phone or a pair of shoes. You find the page on Amazon and it has 3,500 reviews, and they're all, most of them are positive. What you can do is then copy the URL for the page, paste it in this review checker site, and it'll give you a report that says, well, actually, most of these reviews are for the phone, or most of these reviews are fake, or most of these reviews are unverified. So they're reviews written by people that we can't necessarily prove had bought they're just coming in off the internet and writing a review for this. We can't prove that they actually came from Amazon.
Caveat emptor, as we learned in school. I heard somebody on the radio say caveat emptor in the recent past.
Was it Boucher Hayes? It's got to be Boucher Hayes.
It was somebody on a pop music show, and I thought, stay in your lane there, wow, sunshine.
Stay in your lane, Cantillon.
Speaking Latin? What?
She's, between the English, the Irish and the Latin, she's got everything covered. The other thing I wanted to talk, do we have time to talk about it? Because we're running into talk show territory. The thing I wanted to talk to you about was my obsession with human nature, right? This is something I find it so hard to pinpoint. It's a thing that I was thinking about on holidays. And I texted you about it. Sort of in a work sense. It applies in a life sense, but particularly with work. I have this feeling where I can't maintain perspective. Do you know what I mean? Or do you know what I'm talking about?
What context?
The context, let's say it's your first day in your new job, right? I think back to my first day being back here in Today FM, right? And I'm nervous and I'm excited, I'm giddy, I'm a bit scared, adrenaline is coursing through me, and I'm also just thrilled, delighted to be back on Today FM, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, as has happened, and it's not just a me thing, or it's not even necessarily an ADHD thing, it's just I do think it's a human nature thing. I have lost that feeling. Now, I don't hate my job by any measure.
You're comfortable.
That's it. It's because, like with any job, it becomes humdrum would be the worst way of describing it. Boring would be the worst way of describing it. But just routine, regular routine that you're not particularly excited about. And I think, how do you either manufacture that excitement, or which is what I've been thinking about? How do you retain the perspective, retain the like? Go to the point. I was reading this. The Stoics, the Marcus Aurelius and all this. One of the things that they say the Stoics is, imagine the worst case scenario. And then imagine all of a sudden the life you now have is instead of that worst case scenario. And then focus on that feeling. That gives you, I suppose, perspective. But how do you maintain it?
You just need to constantly remind yourself of the good things. You got to remind yourself about what it is that you like about your daily routine.
But you need to do it all the time. I can't be spending all my time reminding myself. I got to get on with work. I got to get on with life. I got to cook the dinner. I got to get dressed and do the shopping.
I would say I have it could be worse moment. Oh, multiple times a day, every day. And that's not an exaggeration. I am constantly reminding myself that it could be worse. And I need to be grateful that it isn't that thing that it could be. All the time.
But that's an exercise then. Have you trained yourself into that exercise?
No, because as soon as the bad thought creeps in or the negative thought creeps in, I tend to go, is it of value? Is it real? Are you really feeling this? No, but
how do you do this?
It's a survival mechanism.
So how do you do it?
I don't want to be lumbered with the doom and gloom. So as soon as the doom and gloom ever appears, I'm like, okay, what is this? Hang on now, pump the brakes here. Why are we feeling this? What's going on? If there's an issue in work, okay, what is that issue?
Ray.
How big of an issue is it? 6'3" or 2", maybe. And is it as bad as you're feeling that it is now? I had to do something last week. I had to make a presentation at work. And I was up the walls with anxiety. And I had to check myself a number of times and say, you have done things like this before. This is slightly different, but you have done things like this before. You have never died in the middle of doing one of these things before. You will be alive afterwards. Yeah. And it's going to be Friday afternoon when it's done and you'll be off enjoying yourselves. Go into it, get it done, find the joy in it.